Welcome to the Domestic Fuel Cast, a podcast devoted to news and information about alternative fuels and energy. Produced and hosted by Zimcom New Media.
Changing consumers' minds on higher blends of ethanol. I'm John Davis reporting. As ethanol producers await the Environmental Protection Agency's decision on the government's proposal to cut the amount of ethanol to be blended into the nation's fuel supply under the Renewable Fuel Standard, or RFS, the industry is looking at other ways around the so-called blend wall.
The blend wall is created by the oil industry, and the federal government can help us tear down that wall by just sticking with the RFS, sticking with the goals and the legislative authority that they were granted under the RFS and not going backwards.
That's Growth Energy CEO Tom Bias, one of those attending the Indiana Corn Growers Association Ethanol Forum that focused on marketing mid-level ethanol blends and ran following the recent 2014 Fuel Ethanol Workshop in Indianapolis. While ethanol producers hope to get some good news from the EPA on the RFS, there's more than one way to skin a cat. And Dean Drake, with a consulting company, the DeFore Group, believes the real key for the industry is getting better consumer acceptance of higher blends.
Much to the surprise of a lot of people, ethanol, and particularly corn ethanol, became much cheaper than gasoline after it lost its government subsidies at the end of 2011. It's a surprise because most people don't even recognize that ethanol doesn't have subsidies anymore. And even more surprising, after the subsidies were lost, instead of the price of ethanol going up, ethanol producers were able to become much more efficient, and ethanol became cheaper.
And Drake says those prices will continue to get cheaper, making it more attractive at those higher blends for consumers.
This will reduce the price of regular gasoline. It will reduce the price of blends like E85, and it will reduce the cost of driving. It also opens up the opportunity for a brand new fuel that would have the octane rating of today's premium but cost less than today's regular and allow high performance, high efficiency, high compression ratio engines to return. The same type of engines we had back in the 1960s.
But he says you have to be patient when it comes to changing consumers' minds, as ethanol is marketed as a great bargain for the consumer, as opposed to being just a great fuel for the environment.
It's never something that happens quickly, changing people's minds. I have had the opportunity to have a front row seat in this, and through that, I changed my own views of the economics of ethanol. I think we just have to take every opportunity to get that out there, and for the people, particularly like the corn growers and the ethanol interests, they need to, in their promotions, start emphasizing more the consumer benefits of this.
Scott Zaremba, president of Zarco Incorporated, whose fueling stations became the first in America to offer E15 2 years ago, is trying to educate consumers on E15's benefits.
One of the simplest are saving money today. And the second is being able to have a product that burns cleaner and is higher octane. And so, you know, when you have a higher octane product, your car is going to run a little more efficiently, and you're going to be able to have something that is fun to drive.
And for those trying to raise the food versus fuel argument, which Bias says is a big lie made up by a public relations firm, Ken Parent, the ethanol director for the Indiana Corn Marketing Council, points out that the ethanol byproduct, dried distiller's grains, or DDGs, are helping the livestock sector while also reducing the amount of tax dollars going to farmers in the form of subsidies.
I've been in the grain industry for many years, and I can remember many years where the only way corn farmers got by was on government subsidies. They now receive no government subsidies, and they are actually profitable farming corn. And a large portion of that is due to ethanol, which has created that demand for corn. In the old days, we had to sell it to the government, have them store it, keep it off the market. We had to rely on exports, which weren't always consistent. And now we have a steady demand right here close to home. And that has benefited corn producers immensely.
For the future, Drake points to the Food and Agricultural Policy Research Institute, or FAPRI, study that shows that ethanol will soon be performing even better than petroleum-based gasoline.
What they did for the 2013 one, they showed that the forecast 5 years out for ethanol was it was going to become close to that of gasoline on an energy equivalent basis. A year later, they came up with a forecast that said they're going to be better than gasoline a lot sooner than anybody thought, like maybe next year. So in another year, we may see ethanol out there in the marketplace that on an energy basis is cheaper than gasoline. And I know the term game changer is often overused, but this is a case where it really applies. Because gasoline will have a cost-effective competitor for the first time in 100 years.
So while ethanol producers are not waiting for the government's decision, Bias says they'll still keep up the pressure on Washington.
Continue to contact the elected officials and tell them how important it is. And what, I mean, pick up the newspapers today. The Mideast is on fire again. Oil prices are skyrocketing. Gas prices are skyrocketing. How many wake-up calls do we need to realize our country is better off if we have an alternative to foreign oil and an alternative to fossil fuels?
I'm John Davis reporting.
You've been listening to the Domestic Fuel Cast, the official podcast of DomesticFuel.com. Check out the website daily for the latest good news about the alternative energy industry.